All right. You ready to do this? Stop eating a cookie. Can you...
Should we do it?
Yeah. You read out that good review we got. We got a good review.
This is the best advanced basketball analytics podcast on the market.
Thank you.
These brothers go very deep. Feeling very smug that I got in on the ground floor.
Great review. Great podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Advanced Analytics Podcast with Guy and Paul. If you don't like that,
you don't like NBA basketball. That review was from Jordy Muir.
No, that was the intro.
Yeah, I know, but you can't just say someone's review and not credit them.
Okay, and I've already said the welcome, but Jordy, I feel like I need to say
Jordy Muir.
Thanks, Jordy. And can I say one more time, welcome to Advanced Analytics. I'm Guy.
And I'm Paul.
And today we're going to be talking about NBA basketball. That's what we always do. It'd be weird if one day we're like, today we're going to talk about gorillas. Was that kind of bitten off? Did I just kind of bite a Mitch Hedberg joke? Gorillas is like a punchline he uses. It's about a gorilla.
Yeah, kind
of. Yeah. That show where he's like, and when it's just inspired by a true story, a true story could inspire you to write anything.
Yeah.
He's like, you hear that story about that mum who drove her car into the lake and drowned her kids? Well, that inspired me to write a story about a gorilla. Anyway, that's a reminiscent of a better comedian, Mitch Hedberg, RIP. Today, on the show, we have, I've got my hottest take ever, and I've done a lot of hot takes in my time.
Yeah, I already know this is going to be a disappointment.
We have chat about NBA goggles, which I just realized you probably haven't even seen, and a Zach Lowe takedown. Wow. So okay. Exciting. Oh, and Paul's brush with NBA royalty. But first, it's the Week in Review! Okay, the Week in Review. This is where we cover the big stories in the NBA. And I normally don't really follow like what mainstream media fake news is doing. I just get a sense of things. And this week, I've been depressed. Because I feel like the big story is just the Rockets and Cleveland being good. And I'm going to ask you my big story, which I think is the real storyline unraveling. Is the NBA broke? Because we're like 20 games in, and I can already pretty much guarantee who is going to be the Eastern and Western Conference finalists. You know? Probably who's going to be the finalists, and who's probably going to be the champion.
I don't know. Are you familiar with like sports? Have you watched much sports?
Yeah, I watch a lot of sports.
Because this is often how it goes.
No, it's not.
I think there's usually
favorites. It's not. You've got recency bias. It's not supposed to be like this. It's not supposed to be that the same two teams match up year in, year out, you know?
Mm.
It happened in the 80s, and people liked it. It was Magic.
Well, there was a little bit of bad luck. I think the Celtics would have won the East if they had Gordon Hayward.
That's a huge call.
No, I'm confident. I'm confident they can do it without Gordon Hayward. I want that to go on record right now. I still think Gordon Haywardless Celtics can beat the Cavs in the Eastern Conference Finals.
But you can guarantee the Eastern Conference Finals is going to be Cleveland-Boston. You can guarantee it. Like, my Raptors aren't going to do it. Who else has got even a chance? No one. The Wizards are terrible. The Pacers? We'll talk about them a bit later. That's a positive story.
Mm.
And then everyone would bet on Warriors-Rockets in the West.
I think the Bucks could do some damage in the East.
The Bucks are doing no damage, mate. They're struggling above 500. They've got Antetokounmpo and nothing. They need to fire Jason
Kidd. Yeah, I think they could do with a better coach, but they've got so much talent on paper.
I don't think they do.
I think they do.
Just because Malcolm Brogdon won Rookie of the Year and the worst rookie year ever.
No. Chris Middleton is the most underrated NBA player in the league. Eric Bledsoe now, I don't love him, but I mean, he's good at basketball.
Yeah.
Brogdon, I really rate. They got heaps of guys.
Yeah, they're not going to beat
Who's that? Tony Snell?
Maybe in the future. But they're the team that's going to be breaking out for like the next 5 to 10 years until one day they're like, Giannis is 45 years old and they're not breaking out anytime soon. Just like John Wall and the Wizards. We've been waiting for their big breakout.
Nah, I don't consider them the same.
So what? Like, everyone can bet who the top two teams in both things are going to be. Maybe the Spurs get there, but it seems...
I think the Spurs will be top two.
No.
You think the Rockets will beat them?
Yeah. The Rockets got their defense ordered. The Rockets could beat the Warriors. That's my only thing I think standing in front of the Warriors for the championship, really, because the East is the Boston and Cavs are not up to the standard. Like Boston probably offensively and Cleveland defensively. The Warriors are the only champion.
Did you say that the wrong way around?
Boston, okay.
Boston defensively.
Yeah, Boston.
Boston already beat Golden State once, I think, didn't they?
Yeah, but in the regular season.
Yeah, still, like, it's quite an achievement.
Yeah.
I think they did. I can't remember.
Put it up on the mantle. It just feels like, I can't believe we've got 16 more games to go in the season.
Should we make another bet?
Yeah, what was the first bet we made? That you bet that Boston's going to beat Cleveland.
Now, here's the thing. I think the Spurs should be the second best team in the West.
No.
But
why?
If they finish, they might have to play the Warriors in the semis, you know?
Yeah.
Western semis.
So the good news for the NBA is, cynics like me will say that it's boring that there's four teams in contention, four teams that you can kind of guess where they're going to land. It used to be worse. At the start of the season, people were saying there was one team, because no one really knew what was going to happen in Houston, you know. People were saying there's one team that's going to win, and now the dynamics change because they're like Houston and Cleveland have a chance. I've been doing a bit of advanced analytics myself, and what I did is I Googled the draws for... this is a new stat that I'm working on, and I call it, how recently have you played a good team? And the two teams that are on a tear at the moment, Houston and Cleveland, are just tearing through bad teams. LeBron does this all the time because he plays in the East and goes on huge win streaks against teams that he's previously ruined by creating his super team and taking away good players from other teams. So Cleveland, according to ESPN, has the 28th, the easiest schedule. They got like one of the easiest strength of schedules.
Wait, what, the 28th or the easiest?
The 28th hardest schedule, so the third easiest.
Okay.
And Houston is not much better on the 24th.
Yeah.
The last time...
I never really understand strength of schedule myself.
Well, they work out the records of the teams you played.
Yeah.
It's pretty straightforward. You can just do the eye test and look at like who the Rockets have beaten recently. Mm. And there's a few teams in there that are okay, Trailblazers, Jazz... Pacers are okay, but even them, you know, you don't expect much from them.
They had an incredible comeback, like you
said. Nuggets are okay. The last tough game the Rockets had, they lost. They played the Raptors, and they got smoked.
That's why. If they have to verse, knowing the Spurs, I think the Spurs will rig it so they don't have to play the...
I don't know why... Yeah.
So they don't have to play Golden State. I'm going to make a prediction. The Spurs might finish...
They're in trouble because the top two teams are going to be Warriors, Rockets, and so the Spurs, where are they going to finish?
So if they finish third, then they'll verse...
The Rockets, then the Spurs.
Yeah, the Rockets.
The Rockets, then the Warriors.
So I'll make a prediction that they'll beat the Rockets in the playoffs if they play them.
Yeah,
that's my prediction.
I don't see that happening at all. And
Should we make a bet right now?
Okay, mate, look, Kate, I don't want to take money off like... Like, if I see... I don't make a bet with, like, a homeless guy on the street because I don't want to take his, like, last $20 of him.
Yeah.
I don't want to bet off you because you seem like you're at the casino and you're gambling, like, a very bad hand here.
No.
This is who you're betting on. Rudy Gay, who hasn't played a complete season since he played for the Memphis Grizzlies 10 years ago, all right?
Mm.
Pau Gasol, who's still reliving when he should have possibly been MVP in, like, 2007.
Yeah.
Right? Who else they got? That cheeky little Australian guy who waves his
Patty
flag
Mills.
A lot, waves his towel waving expert. The guy Kyle Anderson who just desperately needs a haircut. All right.
Okay. Here's my rebuttal to that.
LaMarcus Aldridge can't guard Kevin Durant. Like, we're taking the piss.
No, we're talking about the Rockets here.
Yeah,
Kevin Durant doesn't play.
Oh yeah, the Rockets are actually worse. The Rockets have got like a better small ball lineup than they've got. Anderson, they've got a bit of small ball.
No, here we
they've
go.
They've got a team where everyone can shoot threes on the Rockets.
Clint Capella, he's not shooting no threes.
Well, they bring him on with a bit of defense.
Okay, here's what I'm betting on.
Yeah.
Greg Popovich.
Yeah.
Hell of a team.
Yeah.
Teamwork.
Yeah. Reputation.
Frogging.
Yeah.
You love frogging.
I love frogging. That was a meme that was invented by Patty Mills, where you pose. Just Google frogging and see Ginobili doing some ridiculous.
You might have to search Spurs frogging. Maybe not. Maybe it was.
I don't rate Patty Mills at all. I'm going to come in and say it, and I know that makes me a bad Southern Hemispherian
Australasian.
If Patty Mills is
I got love
crap.
For Patty Mills, man, he's and the whole. I've got love for Patty Mills and the whole
Western
frogging.
Conference Matthew Dellavedova, just because they play hard.
No,
mean
I've got a lot
scratch.
Of love for Patty Mills and the whole frogging phenomenon. But here's who you're betting on.
Yeah.
James disappears every playoffs Harden.
Yeah.
Chris gets injured every playoffs, never wins in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's true.
Paul.
Yeah.
Ryan doesn't even have a nickname, Anderson.
And he's...
Eric accidentally favorites pornography on Twitter, Gordon.
Yeah, legend.
Clint... I know nothing about him, Capella.
Yeah.
Except I am trying to get him on my fantasy team. Capella.
The more players you name, the more deep they seem.
I can't think of any other players they've got.
So,
they used to have
you raise a good point, and I think the Rockets do have, like, if my statistic injury propensity was finished by now, just unfortunately, Andrew the Nerd is doing most of the hard work, hasn't finished it yet. When we figure out injury propensity, I think both the Rockets and the Spurs would have bad injury propensity. But this is where my Zach Lowe takedown comes in, because I was just listening to his podcast, trying to get some ideas for our podcast, driving here, and he said he was amazed that the Spurs have won like 60% of their games because 70%. They have an injured Kawhi Leonard, and he said, quote, "It's not like they have a roster where you look at the roster and they have all these guys that are ready to assume a huge offensive load." And I was like, that's completely wrong. They definitely do. They have LaMarcus Aldridge, a superstar 3 years ago, who just because he turned to mush since he's been at San Antonio, it's like they devalued his stock on purpose so they could look like a genius when he eventually comes right. Like, the people saying he's like an MVP candidate.
Yeah. I also love, like, has he never seen the Spurs?
They got, yeah, they're
the Spurs
always good.
Always, like, kind of money-walling with guys you've never, like, they've...
Yeah, like, they're getting more out of their bench than anyone has. But also, these guys that I was criticizing before, Pau Gasol and stuff like that, are, like, good regular season players.
Pau Gasol's great.
Early in the season, when they're not broken down and they're playing regular season teams, they're good. It's just when they get to the playoffs and they're getting scouted and isolated, like... Pau Gasol and LaMarcus Aldridge are in big trouble.
I think the Spurs are going to have a really good year this year.
Oh, yeah, great prediction. Like, they have every year they have a really good year.
No, but, like, they'll make the Western Conference Finals.
All right. So, anyway, I'm just like, I realize it's a depressing prediction to make, like, a few episodes into an NBA podcast that is supposed to go for the whole season, but I'm just real depressed about the NBA. There's so few good matchups. They seem to have stacked them all on Christmas Day. So I want to look at something positive. And I want to look at, like, breakout stars. And already this year, like, people have been like Giannis Antetokounmpo and Kristaps Porzingis, like, superstars. They're going to be all-stars and superstars in waiting. Who's the next person who's going to be a breakout? Because Devin Booker, who's been predicted for, like, 3 years, is looking like he's good. And I want to say, and I wanted to say this before today's game where he scored, like, 46 points... Victor Oladipo.
He's a star.
Already?
Yeah.
No, I would say he's like, yeah, got...
He's on the... Nah, he's a star, man.
Big time potential already is.
He's
so
on
is
the
it not me
team.
Shocking to say him?
What?
Is it not me shocking to say he's a big star?
No. No, no way.
I was trying
he's,
to...
He's on my fantasy team and he's a massive star. Or, whether it's
well, he wasn't last year. He was a, he's been a bust
for
6 years before.
No. Here's the story of Victor Oladipo, because I've followed his career closely.
Yeah.
Nearly bought his jersey back in the day for the Magic. So he got picked number 2 in the 2013 NBA draft.
Yeah.
Famously weak draft.
Yeah.
Anthony Bennett went number 1. The Magic had number 2. They took Oladipo.
Yeah.
A few guys taken after him who were noteworthy are like Gobert and Giannis.
Yeah, but those are two. They were two risky picks.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, Otto Porter was number 3. Shout out to my guy Otto. But Oladipo, he was getting... really good for the Magic. Then he got traded because they basically went with Fournier over Oladipo, which I think was a massive mistake.
The world thinks was a massive mistake.
So Rob Hennigan, who was the GM of the Magic at the time, traded him for Serge Ibaka for half a year of Serge Ibaka, who was terrible. And
they spun him into Terrence Ross. They traded him for Terrence Ross, kind of.
Yeah, but not originally. That was like
that wasn't their plan. That was the fullback plan.
They bailed.
Yeah,
but Oladipo went to the Thunder, where he
Was okay.
No, they I didn't think they used him at all.
He did the dunk.
He became like a
But it's really interesting that he got traded for Paul George, because Paul George is now having the problems playing next to Westbrook that Oladipo was having last year. He was okay last year. He was a lot better than he was with the Magic.
But no, Depot's last year, at least in terms of fantasy, he was pretty good. Like he was clearly getting there.
Yeah.
And they just got rid of him, and it was a mistake. It was a real mistake.
Oh, you're in for the Thunder. It was a mistake.
No, the Magic. It was a massive mistake.
Yeah. Well, the Magic should just be called the Orlando.
They got the weird thing is, it was like we were being so patient for so long.
Yeah.
And then we just lost the patience, and like we got rid of Tobias Harris for nothing as well, and he's amazing now for Detroit.
We talk about this every week. We'll get to Magic Mayhem soon. Who else do you think? Or did you have something good to say? You seem real sad now. Sorry.
I'm just sad thinking about Depot, man.
I was a bit abrupt there. Sorry, man. Okay. Who do you think is a breakout star? Like, I think
Donovan Mitchell, who's a rookie.
He's been having a breakout.
Putting up mad numbers.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be a big star in Utah.
Such a big star. I actually wrote him on my list twice.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll rattle through who I thought were like the rough possibilities,
yeah,
and you use your genius NBA brain to tell me if they are yay or nay. Okay. Devin Booker,
already a star. No, can't score 70 points. No,
he seems like the next Tyreek Evans. What's his name?
Tyreek Evans.
Tyreek Evans. Sorry.
No, I disagree. I think he's closer to the next Steph Curry. But continue.
Tobias Harris.
I don't think he'll ever be like a star. I think he's near his
second or third player.
Well, I think he's currently almost near his ceiling, like in terms of he'll be really good.
He looks chubby, like you can't.
No, he'll be really good, but I don't think he's like a love your body, whatever shape in terms of like he won't have like a signature shoe. No one's buying a Tobias Harris 3.
His name is holding him back. Tim Hardaway Jr.
To be honest, I haven't really seen much of him.
No one has. He's bad. Bad team, good stats.
I don't think he's a star.
Donovan Mitchell, you said yes. Gary Harris?
I really like Gary Harris. I don't think he's like a superstar.
Again, put him in the Tobias. Oh, they're both Harris.
Yeah,
is he Tobias's brother?
No, put him in the Tobias Harris thing. A really good player, but not like a superstar.
And Brandon Ingram.
That's interesting.
Yeah, no.
No, I had him on my fantasy team today.
He won a game this year.
I traded him.
Yeah.
And
is this your controversial trade?
Yeah, I did a controversial trade.
Spice up the podcast telling us about your controversial trade, mate.
Okay, so I traded Goran Dragic of the Miami Heat, point guard.
Man, these names are hard to say.
And Brandon Ingram of the Lakers.
Yeah.
And I basically went, I was considering a 2-for-1 for Serge Ibaka from the Raptors.
Yeah.
And Kenneth Fareed was in there to make numbers, but I'm probably going to cut him.
Yeah.
And it caused outrage in the league. People were threatening to veto it.
Because so bad for you.
Yeah. And the guy who accepted it was like, it only took me minutes to accept it. That should tell you everything you need to know. And I was like, look, fellas, never not being a top 2 team in the regular season in my league.
Yeah.
I reckon this is Serge Ibaka.
Yeah.
In the last 2 weeks has been amazing. Like top 25 player. He averages like 2 blocks a game, and blocks is what I'm third to worst in blocks, and I really need blocks as my team. My team's built essentially punting points. I know I want
to
clarify.
Good man. That's a good tip.
I want to clarify because in the first fantasy update,
you said don't punt.
I said don't punt, but the thing is, I essentially always punt points.
Yeah.
Like looking at my team, my star players are always like Draymond Green, who sometimes score like, he had a real good game the other day, but he scored like 2 points.
Yeah.
And so basically with trading Goran Dragic for Serge, I'm like, I'll take a huge hit in points, assists, but I'll see a rise in percentages, a decrease in turnovers, I think, and a massive jump in blocks.
Good on you, man.
But people think I'm crazy, but man, I'm really excited.
Keep us updated. All right.
Yeah.
Hopefully I remember to look back at that. Speaking of like genius kind of like skills. I did not know this, but last podcast I was like, they needed an NBA team in Mexico City. They're already making moves to it. They just announced they're going to try and do a G League team in Mexico City.
I think they'd announced that before you'd said that.
No, they didn't.
Okay.
I didn't read it and then predict it on the podcast. It was literally like, I'm so talented that I literally predicted it 3 days before they announced it. But don't get me wrong, if you Google future NBA cities or potential NBA cities, like Mexico City always pops up as an outsider chance. I think mostly they put it on there for clickbait to, you know, go, can there be an NBA team? It seems very unlikely.
Have there ever been any great NBA players from Mexico? That's a real question.
Eduardo Najera or whatever? Najera? I don't know.
You can't just make up.
There was one weird year when the Dallas Mavericks, they were, when Mark Cuban bought the team, he just bought ads for the team and Slam. It was quite a good idea. He changed the uniforms and bought ads in Slam, where he just took a photo of all his international players. It was when international players were the hot thing, and just listed them and said where they're from. So it was Dirk Nowitzki, Germany. They had a Chinese guy, and I wanted to just guess his name, but then I was like, that's going to sound real racist. They had Eduardo Najera or whatever. Who
I just Googled and is from Mexico.
Yeah, and they had him for years. So in your face, not a racist. Who else did they have?
JJ Barea
from... Okay, let's racistly guess what country JJ Barea is from. On the count of three. Three, two, one.
Puerto Rico.
Do we nail it? We don't know. No one knows. Remember back in the day before Google where you just, you'd both say Puerto Rico and we'd just both
Puerto Rico,
right? Oh, we are right.
Although so you said it like Puerto Rico. You said it like...
I tried to say it properly.
You tried to say it like how he says it in Despacito where he's like, this is how we do it down in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, that's how you say it. And that's why Despacito is such a good show. The song that I learned so much about
I'm learning
culture.
Spanish currently
on
Duolingo.
No, I am. No, you're not.
And one of the first...
What's Duolingo?
Everyone uses it. I found out recently... It's like the app for learning languages. But like on the first day...
This is not
like,
a paid sponsorship, by the way.
On the first
if you do
day,
want to sponsor us, please give us some money, please.
On the first day, I was learning like the essentials. And one of the main things I was learning...
Lesson one was
this sentence. I am a girl, I drink milk. I thought that was quite funny.
How do you say it?
Can't remember. Girl is...
What do you mean you can't remember?
No, well, I'm just mate, started. Like, I'm like a week into it.
Do you ever worry
Nina
that...
Nina is girl.
Do you hear
milk,
my...
I'll know milk if I read it.
Do you hear how my voice went high when I said, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Do you ever worry that, like, this podcast is like the Ricky Gervais podcast, and I'm Ricky Gervais, and you're Carl Pilkington?
No, I'm Stephen Merchant.
Okay, well, who's Carl Pilkington?
The first guest we had.
That's the problem with our podcast, is that we've got no Pilkington. Well, I'm going to say, there's a bit of Pilkington in all of us. That was kind of deep. That was kind of saying Pilkington would say. Okay. Other things I've written down. Goggles are back.
Okay.
That's quite interesting.
Yeah.
I was watching a game just the other day, and I noticed a few interesting observations, and goggles are back is weird. Dario Saric is wearing them probably just because he's got an eye problem, or does he wear them all the time?
No, he'd never used to wear them.
And he's wearing like kind of like 90s goggles, which is more like the kind of like the Oakley retro sports glasses visor, but it's just clear.
Yeah.
Not a cool look, but I'm guessing that's because the doctor's given it to him, not an actual thing.
Right.
But Jaylen Brown was rocking the coolest glasses. Like he was rocking like Horace Grant, early 90s, square glasses, and he's got, remember, like, what do you call that cut?
Like a flat top?
Flat top. Yeah, he's got the flat top and the square glasses. That's a tight look.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's intentionally, like...
No, he's like a style icon, man.
Because I wear glasses in real life, I can't see good. I stop wearing contacts, I can't see good when I play basketball, can't read the scoreboard. I really need to get prescription Jaylen Brown, Horace Grant goggles.
Yeah.
Glad to see them back, anyway.
I always loved when... one of my favorite NBA players, maybe my favorite, Otto Porter Jr. Actually, he's dropped the junior, just Otto Porter. Mm. When he used to wear goggles, such a good look, man.
Yeah. I think goggles are, I mean, probably not that great, that comfortable to actually wear them, but yeah. That was my other equipment thing I noticed, was that LeBron isn't wearing his shoes. He's wearing the soldier version of his shoes and not the shoes they've just released, you know, his main shoes, the 15s or whatever. And he didn't wear his last shoe either. He mainly wore the soldier. And they've said there's a problem with like ankle rolling in his new sneaker. It's not a very like ankle supportive shoe, but some sneaker nerd noticed that they'd like changed the design slightly on the ones that LeBron wears to make them more, that make it more supportive. They put like a wing on it so it doesn't roll around. But I noticed LeBron just keeps on wearing the soldiers anyway, so it doesn't matter, the ones that weirdly don't have laces.
Right.
The strap ones. I think it's fascinating that he's not wearing, like, yeah, it's a disaster for Nike, kind of, that he just doesn't wear the sneaker that they, and obviously he has incentive too, because he's part owner of like his own shoe brand. Anyway, maybe that's maybe more interesting to me than it is to anyone else. Zach Lone Takedown, I've done that, which means it's time to catch up on everyone's favorite crashing team in the NBA. They hail from the middle of Florida in what some would say is one of the worst cities in the world. It's the Orlando Magic.
It's that time, right about that time, for the stars to roll on out. Man, another rough week for the Magic.
Yeah, good. I'm glad you bring a bit of honesty to this podcast.
So I'm trying to think what had happened after. Oh, they just come off a Knicks win last time.
Yeah, asterisk. And their second Knicks win without Porzingis playing in either of those games.
Yeah, and I think maybe Tim Hardaway Jr. was also out in that second one. But still, solid 5-point win.
Yeah,
at win. MSG. Nah, was it at MSG?
At the Mecca.
I think
probably.
It was.
Yeah.
Anyway, they then lost to the Hornets. Oh, we brought that up, actually.
The famously bad Hornets.
And there was that bad...
oh, yeah. Dwight Howard made old mate fall over and then dunked on him.
Yeah.
Dwight Howard.
Then...
How bad's Dwight Howard, by the way? He's putting up stats and he's just poison wherever he goes. He just ruins teams. That's going to be the Magic's proudest legacy, is that you could say...
They cursed him.
That they... No, they sold high on Dwight. No, like...
He got cursed.
Because I remember when they did the trade, they were like, the Magic have stuffed badly. And then, turned out Dwight was terrible and never played for the Raptors and at the
Lakers. Their hand was forced of it in the trade.
No. Let's just go, just without looking at that at all, just go, it was initially gone like the Magic have just blown it. They've lost a big star because he wanted out, but they've lost him anyway. And then when he turned out terrible for the Lakers, like the Magic have won the trade. And then he kind of got a bit better and the Magic have been stuck. You know, the Magic have been just a depressing story themselves. So they're like, the Magic have lost the trade. Now I feel like back again, you can say that officially Dwight Howard's last good year was when he played for the Magic. He was okay for Houston, but not
I think
that
no
good.
No one won it.
He's poison.
The thing is, Dwight...
The guy's poison.
Yeah, well, Dwight should have stayed, firstly. I don't know what...
Yeah, but he was wrecked anyway. So if the Magic had kept him, he would have had the same problem. And clearly the wrecked. Problem's him. Like you learn from like getting rejected at multiple teams. Like the
it
Hawks
did come out the other day.
Tried so hard to get rid of
him. Yeah, supposedly the players cheered when they found out.
Yeah,
that seems crazy.
It's
so weird because thinking back to when he played at the Magic, he seemed like such a
lovable guy. Yeah, and turns out he's a nutter. He's got like 40 kids
from like and 50 different women. How's that even work?
He's passionate about. He's passionate about guns and snakes.
Actually?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
He's a famous weirdo. Because what's weird with these NBA players is that, because that's the cool thing about the NBA, is that you get to know their personalities more than ever, but you really get to know managed personalities. And Dwight's one of the few people who has been quite famous, but like not well managed, you know, not well. Right. He's not very careful about his own image, and so he looks bad.
Yeah. But anyway, the Magic lost to them. Then we had a good home win in OT against the always tough Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah.
And firstly, shout out to DJ Augustine, who hit a three right at the buzzer pretty much to send it to OT. And then made a clutch reverse layup. So shout out to him. And then we lost to the Nuggets. And then we lost to the Hawks in Atlanta.
Now, didn't you beat OKC in there?
Nah. That was ages ago.
Lost to the Hawks again. Oh, God.
Yeah, so one win against the Hawks and one loss on the road.
If you were going to use one song to sum up how they're doing right now.
It's saw me, so don't fight it. Life is a roller coaster, you just got to ride it.
I think it's a bad choice of song.
I think
Life, the Magic's Life is a roller coaster. I would describe the magic.
No, it's perfect. Because when you think about it, a roller coaster goes like this.
Yeah.
Big up at the start.
Yeah.
You go up.
Yeah.
Keep going up. Yeah. Going up. You're getting real excited. Yeah. And then it's downhill the whole rest of the way.
No, but there is definitely some ups. Like, well, for example.
Yeah, a little home win against the Hawks.
Occasionally, no, the magic don't go up. The magic are the big drop. Where you get picked up, no. And you're like, whoa, exciting, the season's going to start. What song?
How many songs are about the bloody giant drop at Rainbow's End?
Down. Baby, are you down?
I'm singing because it's a good song, not because I agree with you.
Heaven and earth. What happened to that guy? What was his name?
Jay Sean.
It's actually not a bad name. I thought he was going to have some terrible name, but everyone was called Jay for a time there.
Not that memorable.
Jay Williams, Jay Holiday, Jay Sean.
Jay-Z.
Big Sean.
J. Cole. J. Electronica.
Is he a New Zealand guy?
Nah.
Jay Bulletproof?
Jay Electronica was weird, man. He had so much hype, and I swear he's released like maximum of 5 songs in the past 15 years.
Yeah. What is it?
And I thought of him the other day. I was listening. Do you know the song Control by Big Sean?
Yeah.
I don't think you do.
No, sorry, I was just saying, yeah. I was thinking about Frank Ocean and what happened.
Song was famous for, so it starts with a Big Sean verse. Big Sean gives it a real good crack, goes as hard as he can.
Yeah.
Then Kendrick Lamar features and just drops one of the greatest verses I've ever heard.
Yeah.
So good. It's that one where he name drops all the rappers and he's like, I got love for you, but I'm trying to murder you. It's real good. Like he mentions everyone, like Drake, everyone.
Eminem,
yeah. Name a rapper, he probably mentions them.
Iggy Azalea?
No. Actually, it's quite sexist. I don't think he mentions a single woman. But then that happens, and you're like, damn, Kendrick Lamar just murdered the song. And then Jay Electronica does a verse after that, and he just comes in with this weak-ass, like, conscious-ass rap about I don't know what. It's just kind of gibberish. It's like, who laid out this song? Like, how's he going to follow it with that? Like, surely at least once you've edited it, you'd be like, I think we should swap these verses around and, like, build to the Kendrick one.
Yeah, finish on a high.
Because, I literally haven't paid any attention to
that. Mate, they
structured
that song like an Orlando Magic season. A little bit of up, big up, down.
No.
Down. Oh, I had so many interesting things to say about that as well. I was going to say this, and this could be an embarrassing thing to admit, but this is a problem that I've had, and I just thought I'd throw it out there to the group. And it may be awkward for 2 white guys to talk about it, but hey, let's just see how we go. I once tweeted recently a genuine question. I normally tweet jokes or hardcore left-wing propaganda on my Twitter account. All right? That's how I roll.
Yeah.
Now, I tweeted something that was neither. It was just kind of a serious question, just throwing it out there to the group because I had no mates to talk to or no one who would know about this.
Yeah.
What was the question? Why does... It's weird that Kendrick Lamar, who's like the best rapper in the world and like the abattoir of like good rap or conscious rap or whatever you want to call it, or he's just the smartest rapper out there, uses the word bitch all the time when it's like considered to be like quite a bad word to use. Like even his new songs still have it, even after people complained after your bish and stuff like that, he keeps on using it. And what happened to me on Twitter is I got really a bad response. Like just like no one was into it. Yeah. And like a couple of people called me an idiot and stuff like that. But didn't answer my question. Like quite smart people were like, you're an idiot.
Kanye tweeted this exact question a few years back. He heard the Lupe Fiasco song Bitch Bad.
Yeah.
Which is about how saying the word bitch is bad.
Yeah.
And then Kanye tweeted, is saying the word bitch bad.
Yeah.
And he was curious just like you.
Yeah.
It continued.
I've tried to Google it and I haven't been able to find out. So now I'm this awkward. So what do I do? So now I'm in this awkward position where I have to, because one of the people who favorited one of the tweets saying I was an idiot or a moron or something was Robin Gallagher, like a New Zealand, she's quite good at like writing about New Zealand music and stuff like that. So she obviously knows. So I like, do I DM her and go, hey man, I've been thinking about this. By the way, this tweet I did was about 6 months ago. Yeah. So I got to go like, hey, I know that this tweet I did that got 3 favorites about 6 months ago and you said it was crap.
So she was...
still trying to get an answer.
Oh, she was against your...
Yeah, well, she favored one of the tweets that said I was a moron or whatever.
Right.
And I just want to... So, I genuinely want to know... I've Googled it and I haven't got good answers. What?
What was your reasoning behind the tweet?
No reasoning. I just want to know... I didn't even... It wasn't even loaded. I'm not even saying... I don't personally have that big a problem with the word, the B word. I feel
like in hip hop, it's kind of almost got a different meaning, like the N word.
Yeah. But like, it's men saying it. You can't do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, okay. Anyway, I don't want to dig too deep into it. Anyway, that's just my awkward position. So I'm going to email. I'm going to direct message her and go, hey, can you explain this to me and just be nice, not like on Twitter where you just go, oh, you dumbass. Okay, we should wrap this thing up. We got way off track there. We're going to talk about the time Paul's brush with NBA superstardom. You reminded me the other day about you're quite proud of this, and you're throwing this credential in my face. You claim that once you made Cassidy Hubrath, legendary NBA presenter, laugh.
Not just that, I made NBA Finals MVP Chauncey Billups laugh.
Chauncey Billups.
Yeah,
man, these names are weird. Cassidy Hubrath. Am I saying it right? I can't waiting for you to correct me.
No, I honestly don't know.
Hubrath.
I'm a big fan of hers, though.
You're a weird fan.
Nah. I just follow her on Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah.
And,
but you also just talked about her nonstop for like a year. You're obsessed with Cassidy Hubrath. And Chauncey Billups, yeah.
So they were doing an AMA, because she sometimes would host NBA Tonight with...
the worst NBA show.
With... Chauncey Billups.
Oh, I would have like Jamal Mashburn as like a guest.
Yeah,
like
probably
a suit that's like 5 times too big for him.
But anyway, they had a hashtag going.
Who's that white guy for NBA? ESPN NBA is the worst. Timothy Legler. Get rid of him.
I don't know who.
Put
that
Guy
is.
And Paul from the Advanced Analytics podcast on there to spit some facts.
Anyway,
some numbers.
They had a hashtag going that was Ask Mr. Big Shot. Right.
Yeah, Ask Chauncey Billups.
Yes, Mr. Big Shot. That's
pretty embarrassing nickname.
Yeah.
It's worse than
so
big
my
source.
Question was, were you ever worried that people would mishear your nickname as Chauncey Billups missed a big shot?
That is bad.
And she said that got a laugh from the room, smiley face. You know who was in that room? Oh, just Finals MVP Chauncey Billups.
Okay, no. So, okay, you've misled me.
Why?
And you've misled the listeners of the Advanced Analytics podcast.
Why?
Because you said you made Cassidy Hubrath laugh.
Yeah.
And then you doubled down on your fake news by claiming that you made Chauncey Billups, former NBA MVP of the finals, laugh. Mm-hmm. Now, that tweet that she sent back said it got a laugh from the room. That does not imply that Cassidy Hubrath is laughing at all. In fact...
Is she in the room?
Yes.
Is Chauncey
Billups a laugh
in the
from
room?
The room. If Chauncey Billups was laughing, she would write that in because it'd be a better response. You go, Chauncey Billups laughing at that, you should feel proud. And you go, yes.
You wouldn't write that.
I'm cracking up.
Okay, what would you
and
write?
And do you know who else is laughing? Chauncey Billups.
No, you wouldn't write that.
Do you know who else is laughing? The cameraman. His name is Bevan.
No, you don't list... When a joke kills like this did, you don't list the individual people. You don't do a stand-up gig and you go, oh, I tried out that new joke about... Christmas trees. Man, Michael enjoyed it. This weird bald guy in the front row enjoyed it.
No, but you get a laugh
the woman
from the
with
room.
Him enjoyed
laugh
it.
In the room.
The guy next to him enjoyed it.
It's
Simon
a, it's
from
like detached.
Nelson enjoyed it. Timothy, that guy who works at the theater.
It's like she's saying,
it.
Hey, this joke wasn't for me, Cassidy Hubrath, legendary NBA presenter. But do you know who it's good for? The room, like the cameraman, maybe the sound loser. Like, there's a whole lot of people out there who enjoyed it. The guy who pulls focus, the auto cue operator was chuckling.
No.
Those guys are idiots.
I'm curious
mate.
To know who else was in the room. There was probably lots of other NBA stars.
Who else was in there? Shaq.
Yeah, Shaq. Got a laugh from Shaq.
All right. Well, we should probably wrap up the podcast because I like to listen to it and sometimes I feel like we go a little bit long.
No, I wanted to, for clip of the week.
No, we can't do another clip of the week.
We're only 39 minutes in.
Yeah. And clip of the week goes for about half an
hour. Okay, I won't play the clip. But
I'd prefer if you played the clip.
No, let's just talk about it.
Oh, God.
Is it worth watching? So, in 1995... Wait, play the sting. Clip of the week.
You're forcing this. You're forcing this into the show.
Don't you ever try and talk over the clip of the week sting ever again.
Sorry.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So in 1995, during the halftime of the Schick rookie game, All-Star Weekend.
95?
Yeah. They did a thing called the Footlocker Million Dollar Shot.
Wow.
And I know what you're thinking. A shot from halfway to make $1 million.
Yes.
Incorrect. A shot from the three-point line in front of the hoop for $1 million. They did like a lottery. I think if you went into... It was obviously kind of before the internet, right? 95.
Yeah.
Like, so I think to vote for the for the rookie game...
Yeah.
I think you did it from Foot Lockers, I think.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So you... Or maybe other places
I always
as well.
Wish... Because it used to be one of the main ways you voted back in the day when we read Slam. One of the main ways to vote for All-Stars was in the NBA arena. And I was like, man, I wish I could get in there and... vote for Sean Marks or whoever I would have voted for.
Yeah.
Three votes. I would probably vote for Vince Carter, a guy who was already leading the... Oh, I couldn't... No, who would I vote for in 1995? Oh, Shaq and Penny and Alonzo Mourning and Muggsy Bogues. Anyway, it. Sorry.
So anyway, I think you went in and you filled, a piece of paper out and you voted. And
man,
anyway,
I really railroaded your story there with some terrible chat. Anyway,
continue. Yeah. Please just keep it till the end of this story. So you fill out this ballot, like a physical paper ballot, and then you not only were you voting for your favorite rookies to play in the rookie challenge,
yeah,
but you were also entering for the chance to be chosen. You're like a 1 in a million chance to shoot a three for $1 million.
It's amazing.
The guy who won was like a teenage boy named, I don't know how old he is. He looks about 16 maybe. And his name was Mike Hoban.
The reason this is crazy is because he could prep for this.
Yes.
So he could practice for like a month before.
Yeah, yeah. So his name was Mike Hoban. He had a sick bowl cut.
And
he got to train with Dan Marley?
Thunder Dan Marley.
Yeah. So he trained shooting threes with him. And then it was like the main event. Like it was a bigger event.
Yeah.
So anyway, there's a video of it. If you look up NBA's $1 million shot, but I should talk you through it. Because here's what happened. They introduce it. Everyone's on their feet. The anticipation is crazy. Dan Marley's there, like, coaching him, being like, just relax, block it all out. You got this.
Oh, that would make you more nervous.
He then does his, and the commentator's like, here he is, the man they've all come to see.
This is unbelievable.
Mike Hoban. Oh, wait, should I play the clip?
The pressure on a kid, yeah.
Okay.
Well, can you talk us and play the clip? He can't because he's put his microphone next to it. What is that music?
Okay. So that's just the intro music.
Seconds away from one fan, one shot, $1 million. And now to introduce Mike Hoban to this crowd, the sellout crowd of America West, and to you around America, let's go to the floor and our colleague Ron Sulin.
The crowd are literally standing up now and chapping for Mike Hoban.
Of course, the official sponsor of NBA All-Star Balloting conducted a contest to give one fan, a very lucky fan, a shot, a three-point shot worth $1 million, and the contestant is a young man out of Strongsville, Ohio.
Mention the sponsor.
Mike Hoban.
I guessed his age, right?
One shot from the three-point line worth $1 million. For the past 2 weeks, he has been practicing with the help of Dan Marley of the Phoenix Suns. But it is time right now for him to see if he can make that shot. And if he does, he will be given $1 million courtesy of Foot Locker Stores. Mike Hoban, it is time. Take your best shot.
Come on, Mike.
Okay, so he shakes Dan Marley's hand. He gets handed the ball. And then he begins his pre-shot routine.
What it? You got to describe it, mate. We can't see it.
So a Zen-like imagination drill where he shoots the ball up in the air four times. Then he dribbles down and, quote... stands under the hoop, looks up, and, quote, becomes the basket. So he's now palming the ball and holding it up underneath the hoop and staring up.
The anticipation.
Okay, now he's dribbling
me.
Back out to where he's going to shoot from.
Oh, please say he doesn't shoot.
One, he passes it to Dan Marley so he can set his feet. He does some weird knee bends. He pretends he does some shoots without the ball.
Oh, this is...
So he's doing some... mental visualization. Okay, he's handed the ball. It cuts to his All his family back in his hometown, they're all watching with signs. He shoots it. And he airballs it by like a solid meter. And it cuts back to his his friends and family, and they're just stunned. Dan Marley, he collapses into Dan Marley's hands, who hugs him. His parents come and hug him. It's cutting to the players, who are kind of like laughing slash feeling very sorry for him. So they try and spin a positive by saying that if it hit the shot, he would have technically become a pro and he wouldn't have been able to play college basketball. But like, let's be honest, Mike Hoban is not playing college basketball.
That is so good. Someone needs to make a 30 for 30 about that or something. That's unbelievable. And how much of the blame do you put on Thunder Dan Marley for coaching him so badly?
Craig Seager interviews him, and during the interview, the crowd starts chanting, "One more shot."
Yeah.
And you can tell he's being like, he kind of gets excited. He's like, they're chanting for one more shot.
Yeah.
But then they just don't give him.
They're not getting one more shot for $1 million. That's why you always have a consolation prize. An NBA three-pointer is so realistic, but it is hard, especially if you don't get a warm-up shot. Mike Hoban, you're a legend. Paul, it's taken you 6 episodes, but you finally done a clip of the week that didn't suck. Congratulations. Thanks. Insulted you. Are you going to swing back?
No, I thought it was a compliment. It didn't suck.
Yeah, no. But I insulted, by complimenting that one, I insulted all your other ones.
Yeah, I like to live in the moment.
Okay.
Well, and the moment one got complimented.
That was that's very positive. Well, what a nice way to finish the podcast, and as opposed to the normal the jokes we finish on.
Yeah, well, quickly give me a team. I'll improvise a joke. Okay. There's still time to ruin this episode.
Okay, Atlanta Hawks.
Mm.
Paul's finishing on a joke.
Who's the
it's been a good episode.
Who's the biggest Star Wars fan on the Atlanta Hawks?
Don't know.
Dennis Yoda.
Well done. Thank you for another great edition of the Guy Williams, not the Guy Williams show, the Advanced Analytics Podcast. I've been Guy Williams.
I've been Paul Williams.
Kia ora katoa.